Hi there, and welcome to the One Pres Pod, a podcast for First Presbyterian Church in Fort Smith. On this podcast, we talk about all things related to faith and the life of followers of Jesus. Join us. Well, hello again, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the One Pres Pod. It is me, Phil Blackburn, and I have a special guest here with me today. Who are you?
Oh, I am Maria Martinez, your emotional wellness coordinator.
That's right. You are the new staff member at the church. Yay, Maria.
Thank you so much.
Maria is indeed our emotional wellness coordinator. This is, you know, you're a person that is in a position that was over a year in the making through conversations we had with people around Fort Smith who kept telling us about the need for mental health services and mental health support, wellness support. And so you're now part of the team, but tell everybody, just give us the Maria bio to get us kicked off. Tell us about yourself.
Well, a little bit about me. I have thought about mental health for the longest time, ever since I had worked at the Western Counseling Guidance Center for about 7 years. A little bit about me. I have two small children. Actually, today is my daughter's birthday. She turns 10.
Ah!
So that's really
What's her name?
Grace.
Uh-huh.
And then I have a son named Neri, and he is 12 years old. We have been living in Fort Smith. I moved here when I was 12, but ever since, I've gone to Kimmins, Northside, and I just really love Fort Smith. And one of the things we really enjoy doing is going to the Riverfront Park. We walk. I have a step, so I'm doing steps. I'm trying to get 10,000 steps. So that has been just great. Uh-huh. I take the kids to, you know, ride their bikes there. So I just, whenever this opportunity came up, I really was excited because you could just see the potential. You can see that there's so much. And especially after COVID happened, mental health has really been just the biggest thing. It always was, mm-hmm. but now it's more, and everybody is recognizing the need.
Yeah, do you feel like more people are thinking about their mental health and the people around them than they used to be? Do you feel like this is a change in terms of even just admitting that it's a real thing?
Yes, most definitely I do think that. I think that whenever, you know, you had to go through COVID and just not knowing what was going to happen and people getting sick and just, you know, there was a lot of people furloughed and, you know, they didn't have a job, they didn't have income and just a lot of things of layers. And so it just kind of, it made it seem like the system, the way they have it with mental health and how they do it, was already struggling. And then when you added more people, mm-hmm. when more things started to happen, it just seemed to kind of just become now a mm-hmm. crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, there was already a shortening in therapists. Being able to find affordable mental health services was already an issue. So now it just made it even more intensified with more people that kind of came mm-hmm. on and said, oh, you know, this is more, mental health is important. Mm-hmm. It's just as important as physical health.
Well, let me ask you this question. What do you think, just in terms of talking with people, what's one of the most misunderstood aspects of mental health? You can answer that however you want to, like thinking about your own, thinking about people around you, thinking about treatment. What do you find is one of the biggest misconceptions people have about mental health?
I think sometimes one of the things that I hear with a lot of things, it's like if we don't hear about it, then it shouldn't be an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Or if we don't talk about it, it will just resolve itself. Or if we don't really know exactly, because you know, everybody has stigma associated mm-hmm. with it. So whenever we think of mental health, we probably think of, you know, a more intense cases
mm-hmm.
of, you know, you see certain things and you think, oh, I don't want myself, you know, I'm not that bad off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm struggling every day. I'm having, you know, different things happen in my mood. I feel like I'm lacking a purpose that I need to feel. I just don't feel like I'm connected to other people. That's all part of mental health.
Mm-hmm.
So mental health isn't just, you know, not even just feelings, but it's that connection. It's finding that balance with work, with people in my community.
Mm-hmm.
It's just having that purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's one of the things that it has, it's like a holistic view.
Mm-hmm.
It's everything tied together.
Mm-hmm. So people tend to not view it as part of their whole existence. And then what I'm also hearing you say is maybe people wait too long
Yes.
Like there's warning signs, but people think to themselves, well, I'm not schizophrenic, I'm not bipolar, I'm not an alcoholic, I'm not acting out in violence, so I'm okay, I'll just ignore it.
Yes.
Like I have pain in my left knee, Maria. I basically just ignore it. And so people, but at some point I'm going to pay the piper for that. So some people, you're saying people do the same thing with mental health.
Yes, especially when it comes to anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things that cause a lot of stress. And whether we want to think about it in that way, our body remembers, like how we feel. It comes in a way where it affects your physical health, not just how you're feeling or your thoughts. Now I'm getting, you know, you start thinking about, so whenever I feel anxious, you know, you may feel it where your hands get really shaky. You feel it like a tightness in your chest, in your throat, and you start to think, oh, you know, what's going on? It'll pass. And now everything, you become avoidant of things. Oh, now I can't go to school or I can't go to work because it's causing me stress.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm feeling it in my body. So that's when people start to think, oh, what's going on? I must be sick.
Mm-hmm.
So they may reach. So the first contact usually is a primary care physician, where you go and you say, you know, I'm not feeling right, and then they check you and it may be like, oh, you're fine, everything's okay, you may have this and that, everything's okay, and then you kind of leave and you're like, well, what happened? Something's still not right, or something's still going on. So then that's when the mental health aspect, because it still comes in it manifests in your body.
Talk more, because this is one of the things I'm really interested in. You mentioned The Body Remembers, and that's a book. There's a book that you read that was
Body Keeps the Score.
Talk a little bit about what would be some physical warning signs that maybe something is wrong with my mental health. You mentioned it just a second, but just so people are listening and maybe they haven't connected those two things, like tightness in the throat or whatever, what would be some physical warning signs?
Well, you have some people that get, you know, their hands get really sweaty. They may feel like they're shaking or they want to avoid something. They kind of want to have that. It's that fight or flight response.
Mm-hmm.
So that's everybody. So when we think of anxiety, we think of just, like you said, really intense anxiety. You know, you may have like a panic attack, but let's think a little bit back. Everybody has anxiety, and that's one thing that, whether, just how you deal with it, how you cope with it. So sometimes if I just start to feel really just hot, and then I start to like want to leave the room, or I get really antsy, or I start to feel like, oh, I have a headache or something, you start to feel like that, you know that that's your warning sign. Your body's telling you something isn't right. So some people like to splash cold water in their face and back of their neck. Some people that we always talk about breathing, taking those really deep breaths where you feel it in your stomach. And it's all, and it has to do with just bringing down your pressure, just having to relax. Because once you start, oh, shallow breaths, that's another one that that people tend to feel. So sometimes if you deal with it for a long time, you kind of feel like, oh, well, that happens all the time, but you don't attribute it to mental health. You just think, oh, there's something else going on. So just those things all are kind of like, I don't want to say the stages of it, but they all start somewhere there. And then how intense it gets, it just depends. If we avoid something, usually sometimes people use that as a coping skills. You know, if I don't go to school, I don't have to worry about what's going on there. If I don't go to work, I don't have to, or if I don't go and talk to this person. But you know, you can't avoid everything all the time. You have to have other coping skills in between so that you can deal with it.
So talk through a little bit, if you can, talk through some general coping skills. So I haven't quite reached the point where I'm shaking or where my heart's racing, but I can feel that I'm having an anxious day. So first off, I guess I'd have to be aware and I'd have to name it, right? Like,
yes.
I'm not going to make any progress if I don't at least in my own head say, I'm having an anxious day. So what would be then, okay, these are some general steps. Everybody's going to be different, but what would be some general steps you would tell me to take if I was in that situation?
So I would say some of the things that I would think about was, well, what are you thinking? When we talk about CBT, you think about...
What's CBT?
So it's a cognitive behavioral therapy.
Mm-hmm.
So something about that is like, so for example, I'll give you an example. I have to think really good. So sometimes we have interest, even now. So when you said, okay, we're going to do a podcast, I was like, oh, no, what does that mean? So I started to get, you know, my intrusive thoughts. What are people going to think?
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to be judged? What will they take from this? Will they be able to connect with me? Would they even care about mental health? I had all these thoughts kind of ballooned out. But then I had to kind of go back and say, well, but not maybe other people won't, or they'll be like, well, that doesn't have anything to do with me. But there'll be people that'll be like, oh, I felt that before. Or I think mental health is important. Or there's things, so you bring myself back mm-hmm. to the thought that it's okay. We all have it and we all feel this way, but being able to speak out about it is also important. Mm-hmm. So then I bring myself, it's like grounding technique. Mm-hmm. So even the simple one I would do would be, they used to do with kids, well, five things you can, you know, three things you can see, a certain color, what do you smell? So it's called grounding. So it brings you back to the moment. Mm-hmm. So I'm not worried about what's going on around me in the outside. I'm focused on us sitting here at the table, my feet are on the ground, and I'm breathing mm-hmm. and I'm relaxing. And that kind of brings you down to, oh, okay, mm-hmm. I can move through this. Mm-hmm. So just grounding, thinking about, and in going to good memories, oh, I've done this before and I got through it, I can do it again. Mm-hmm. And then watching how you speak to yourself. Sometimes we think about, you know, when I'm being judged, are those thoughts, is it something I heard? Is it things that I think people are saying about me? How realistic is it? You know, mm-hmm. you have to like look at those thoughts and deconstruct them, challenge them. Mm-hmm. Look at them and say, are they realistic? Are they coming from something? Is it my mm-hmm. own way? And as you think it through, it kind of brings you back down to that, where you're just kind of stay, where you're okay.
Mm-hmm. So the grounding that you're talking about, like right now, listeners, Maria and I are in the library of the church, if you've ever been here. So I would put my feet on the floor. I'm going to do it, and you tell me mm-hmm. if I'm. Put my feet on the floor, and first thing, I'm going to look around, and I see a brown table. Mm-hmm. I see blue chairs. I see books. I can hear the air conditioning running.
Yes.
I just heard a bird outside. Because the air conditioning's on, I don't really smell much. And so that's kind of, it's just a reawareness of the surroundings that I'm in.
Yes, bringing you back mm-hmm. into this moment, mm-hmm. into now. So not mm-hmm. worried about what happened yesterday or what this mm-hmm. or what I'm going to do, you know, mm-hmm. an hour from now. It's us focused on this conversation mm-hmm. and that right now we're doing okay. And mm-hmm. that. You know, it takes time and mm-hmm. it takes practice. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when we hear about, oh, we have to just breathe, you're like, I already breathed enough. But you do it anyway until you get to mm-hmm. the point where it just becomes your second. Mm-hmm. It just because it just you just do it. Mm-hmm. Just your Adam, and then you do it even when you don't feel, you don't get to that point because you have it. Because you're mm-hmm. like, oh, I caught mm-hmm. myself breathing deeply mm-hmm. right before I was about to do this. Mm-hmm. I practice it and you're here.
Okay. So I think one of the reasons I wanted to ask you that question is I feel like people feel as though they either need to repress mm-hmm. or they need to go get therapy.
Yes.
And I'm pro therapy. I've had counseling relationships for about 15 years of my life with three different counselors. They've done a lot for me, psychologists that I've spoken with, helped me process various things. So this is not an anti-therapy question, but that's why helping to build that bridge between repress and services, right? And that's one of the things, to get back to what you're doing here, that bridge is going to be a big part of what you do for people.
Yes, I think so too, because not everybody needs therapy mm-hmm. in that sense where, you know, it just depends on how you're feeling. Sometimes it's nice to have just an outside perspective on things and also have different tools. You know, maybe we have examples where there's tons of different therapy. What might work for me might not work for other mm-hmm. people. So being able to kind of, but I think in the sense I feel like it's important for everyone to know, especially like, you know, children. So you don't want to just repress it, mm-hmm. what it is going on or what happened. You can also face it and build mm-hmm. that tolerance and build that resilience. Mm-hmm. So if there is something that I just feel, you know, upset about, or I feel like I haven't been able to process it, maybe that's what you need. Mm-hmm. You need that other part where you hear it and you say, I'm going to give myself empathy, mm-hmm. compassion. Whenever that happened or whatever it was that hurt my feelings or made me feel a certain way, I didn't know what I know now. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go ahead and not necessarily let it go, but give myself, I'm going to honor myself and saying I still was able to get through it. And instead of repressing these feelings, I'm going to process them and say, what did I need? Mm-hmm. So if I was feeling sad and disappointed, well, why was I feeling sad and disappointed? Maybe you cared about something very, you know, it was very important to you and you felt let down. and being able to say that, it's kind of giving that, oh, okay, I understand why you felt that way, and now I can move forward. Mm-hmm. I don't have to shut it down. I can accept, because feelings aren't bad, and they aren't, you know, feelings are feelings. They just are. Mm-hmm. Everybody has them, and everybody will have them. How you move through them, that's mm-hmm. what's important.
Mm-hmm. So you'd mentioned kids. So we've talked about like what I would do for myself. You know, I have kids. They're a little older now, but let's go back to when they were young, because you're going to be working at Hobson Preschool a lot, I
yes.
think. So my kids come in and they're all worked up. Are there cues I should look for in my children to where this is maybe an anxiety issue versus a, like if they've fallen off a chair and bumped their head, that's not an anxiety issue. That's not, it is a mental health problem, but it's also a my head hurts problem. That I understand. A tantrum about like, I wanted chicken and we're having beef. I get that. But how do I know, or what would be some signs to maybe ask some questions? And then how also can I help my child calm down a little bit and release? So talk about those two things if you can.
Oh, yes. So first we would look at what age range are we talking about, with the developmental wise. So if, you know, whenever you're young, you have tantrums because you don't know how to deal with, you know, not being able to do something you want to do. So it kind of depends. Moving forward, if you have someone, say, like 8 to 12, and they're just upset or they're having something. So we go through the, you know, did you sleep enough?
Mm-hmm.
Did you eat enough? Are you, you know, you have your foundation. Do you feel like you can talk about how you're feeling? But if they don't know how to express how they're feeling, well, how much do you know about emotions? How can you label it? So if someone's feeling, you know, anxiety, it's because they're getting worked up. Maybe they think of the parent having high expectations of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, how does the parent, you know, a lot of times kids, they kind of do what they see. So the parent models it.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm the parent and the way I deal with stress, I get mad and I, mm-hmm. you know, I walk out and I leave the room. So then you'll have your child, they may walk out and mm-hmm. leave the room. You know, and then also putting, I think we've talked about this before with along with another client. She was 12 and we talked about, you know, the rules of arguing. And she said, rules of arguing? What does that mean? So we talked about one of the things that she had said in her family. If she was getting, it's disrespectful to leave the room if you have someone telling you. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times when they're telling you, they're yelling at you. So now we have that, well, is it okay that we can pause this argument, take a small break, and then we can come back and decide how are we going to move forward with it? Does it have to be where I just take the yelling
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden I have to change? So how are the parents dealing with it? And then that's how you, because, you know, if the parent is anxious, a lot of times
yes.
it goes to the child.
So, yeah, children, now correct me if I'm wrong, they're going to mirror
yes.
a lot of the emotional experiences that they're having in the household. If you have an anxious parent, you may have an anxious child. If you have an angry parent, you may have an angry child. Not necessarily. These aren't, as I understand it, universals, but by and large. So, yeah, so the helping people understand there's a kind of symbiotic relationship mm-hmm. between, as a parent, your wellness and mental health and your child's.
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes. So it just how the parents are functioning, how they deal with stress, will influence everybody in the home.
Mm-hmm.
If I have a parent that's really upset all the time, or they get angry if they haven't done this and that, well, you might have a child that kind of is really reserved.
Mm-hmm.
It might be really quiet because they know that if I say this, my parent's going to get mad at me,
mm-hmm.
so I might not say anything. So then that you're kind of inwardy.
Mm-hmm.
You're kind of keeping that anxiousness and those feelings to yourself
mm-hmm.
because, you know, if I say this, my parent may blow up on me, so I won't say anything at all. But then, you know, that causes that repressive feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So now they may be showing it in other places.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they don't do their work. Maybe they don't want to go to school. And it's all influenced together. So just
mm-hmm.
being able to kind of, you know, how do I deal with it? And how can, if I'm doing really good, you know, mentally, and I'm able to have them talk to me, there's chances that your child will too.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be like, oh, it's okay to talk about these things.
Mm-hmm.
They want to listen. They want to help me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember it was before we all talked about mental health. Tasha and I were engaged, and we were getting premarital counseling from a great pastor that was helping us. And he told us that our children would live inside the marriage, which was some of the best advice I ever got. And as I've gotten older and I've learned more about mental health, this is what I think he was talking about. Like, that marriage, the health of that marriage is parenting.
Yep. It really is. Because if you have just a good balance with the mm-hmm. parents, it goes to the kids. Mm-hmm. Then they will do their best because they know they can come and talk mm-hmm. to both parents. They feel about, you know, we know that they have all their, you know, safety. Mm-hmm. They know that they can come home and they'll be safe. They know they'll have food on the table. They'll know that all those things will be met. So it gives them time to flourish in other things. Mm-hmm. Gives them, you know, creative. If it's a unstable household or the parent feels unstable in their emotions or whatever it may be, the children will also feel it. And then they'll do it in different ways, like behavior-wise. Mm-hmm. Maybe they won't really want to focus on learning because there's other things
mm-hmm.
going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and single parents, it's the same. Of course, there's a mm-hmm. ton of single parents, but it's the same, right? Like, your mental health is good parenting.
Mm-hmm.
I think especially, and I think it's important as a guy to say this, one of the things I perceive is the pressure that are put on moms and women to be like super mom, and they come last.
Yes.
But from a mental health perspective, Maria, that may not be the best parenting. They need to come first sometimes to be good parents, right?
Yes, self-care. Mm-hmm. That is exactly what I have been thinking about for a long time, self-care. And that's actually something that we talk about in school. So as we move through getting to talk to other people about mental health, they always say self-care is not the back burner. It is mm-hmm. a mandatory. Mm-hmm. It is a requirement. In order for me to be able to fill other people, I have to fill myself. I have to go back to my foundation, which is keeping my connection with my family, which is feeling that work-life balance, and remembering and giving myself compassion. Because like you said, you know, if you're working full-time, you have your kids, and then there's expectation of, you know, dinner on the table mm-hmm. and all these things, and these other kids are doing activities, and I don't have time to take them, you get really overwhelmed, mm-hmm. and now you feel like you want to judge your parenting. Well, I'm not parenting. Well, that's not the case.
Right.
Because quality time is also very beneficial. Mm-hmm. Being able to feel connected. Because you can have a connection without having to be, you know, there with your child 24/7. Because mm-hmm. sometimes, especially now, that's not necessarily the case.
Yeah. It's not possible.
No.
Yeah. Maria, this is great. So we're going to talk to you, I think, regularly on the One Press Pod and get wisdom from you and hear about what you're learning and doing in the church and in the community. If you guys want to reach Maria, her email address is maria@onepres.org. She's going to be around the church a lot. I think you would like to talk to folks.
Yes, please do. I will welcome, and no matter what it is, we can work on it together. Mm-hmm. We can talk it out, whatever it is we need. And if, you know, I'll have questions, you have questions, we'll just be together.
Yeah. So it's great to have you. I think you're going to really add a lot to the congregation and to the community as well. So anyway, that's it for this week. And we will be back probably next week. Who can say during the summertime? But anyway, Maria, thanks so much.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening to the One Prez Pod. Be sure to like and subscribe to this podcast wherever you found it, and go to onepres.org for more information about First Presbyterian Church. Until next time, peace.